McCaw here with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. In previous shows, I've discussed how no critter can compare, in terms of waste to compost conversion rates, to chickens. Exact numbers are difficult to come by because several processes are at work that will vary according to inputs and conditions. The nitrogen-rich manure of a chicken is a powerful compost accelerator that's used by the microorganisms that break down food scraps, garden and yard clippings, and whatever other organic stuff ends up in your compost pile. Chickens themselves can also act as compost pile managers, as they continually scratch and dig through compost piles, searching for seeds, sprouts, bugs, and edible scraps, which breaks everything into smaller pieces, while also continually churning the surface, which keeps the pile aerated for all those composting microorganisms which require oxygen. Not incidentally, this also keeps the pile from gathering offensive anaerobic odors. Just one reason why the fear that chicken coops will be smelly is completely unfounded. Many chicken historians contend that a main reason farmers and gardeners have traditionally kept chickens around was for their role in creating fertile soil to grow more vegetables, at least as much as, and maybe even more, than for egg and meat production. Especially since it's only been in the last 100 years or so that they've been bred to lay so many eggs year-round and grow so quickly to roasting size. The old-school barnyard fowl were closer to wild birds, who only lay a few eggs a season and tend not to carry a lot of weight around in meat and fat. From my own experience, I can say it's impressive how just a few hens can supercharge a garden. They only work the soil a little at a time, but they do this work constantly and with vigor, proving that a lot of little actions can add up to surprisingly big results. My guesstimate is that my food and garden waste was processed into soil containing the elements to grow big, nutritious, delicious vegetables in half the time it took before I started to keep hens. Whatever the actual numbers are, I assure you, they're impressive. However, chickens do have some competition from several species of composting worms that are used in vermicomposting bins and piles. Under the right conditions, composting worms can process half their weight in food every day. Like chickens, they are working side by side with composting microorganisms, as well as eating those co-workers, and they're also responsible for accelerating the process, reducing odors by aerating the pile, and for breaking down scraps into smaller bits. And even though a worm is much smaller than a chicken, they work even more hours per day than chickens, and reproduce so prodigiously that as a total workforce, they do rival my favorite old hens. Many sustainable farmers have outdoor worm bins which can house thousands of worms and process a lot of waste, including the manure of large livestock and humans. But another advantage of composting worms is they can be kept inside a city apartment and without taking up much space at all, convert the food waste of the average urbanite into usable potting soil in surprisingly little time and with no mess or odor. When I had to make the tough choice to leave my little Boise, Idaho flock with a good friend and fellow agriculturalist and move myself to New York City for work, one of the first things I did was start worming as a way to keep my hand in urban agriculture until I was ready to do city chickening here. I've been vermicomposting for 6 months now, and I've developed an affection for the worms that at times rivals my mania for chickens. I've already harvested 2 large batches of beautiful soil for my tiny backyard garden, and it's difficult to describe the joy I get sticking my hands into my bin and seeing hundreds of cute little worms busy at work breaking down my beet green stems, stale breadcrumbs, and tea leaves into potting soil. I have to admit, feeling quite a bit of pride when I catch a pair of worms mating and see how many egg cases the randy little critters have left behind. Of course, those eggs aren't even remotely edible as compared to the super delicious and nutritious chicken eggs I'm used to finding, and the worms quickly bury themselves deeper in the bin away from the light in my invasive hands, rather than running towards me with adorable little chicken feet while clucking a greeting. And honestly, while they build compost faster than chickens, the soil they produce has not been as productive a vegetable growing medium as the chicken poop enhanced soil I work with for many years. So as you might imagine, I'm not saying that worms are a chicken substitute. Not for those who have the modest amount of land required to have a coop in a garden in any of the many North American cities where doing so is legal, or at least something you can get away with until we change those foolish ordinances. However, what I've become very excited about, as I have been learning about vermicomposting and preparing myself to get back into chickening, is the enormous potential for the urban agriculturalist who husbands chickens and vermicomposting worms. One thing I've learned about a clue, knot, hive, or squirm of worms, whatever you call a bunch of worms, is that it's impossible to sustain all the worms born under your care. Many urban worm workers don't even realize this, because worm populations are managed almost invisibly. It's virtually impossible to find a dead worm, because a worm corpse is decomposed and eaten pretty much instantly upon its death. What's really going on is that starting with 8 worms, a healthy bin can produce 1,500 offspring within 6 months. Now imagine, or do the math, on how many of those 1,500 could then produce in the next 6 months. But an indoor bin can only sustain a finite amount of worms with the food created by a person, couple, or family. A few hundred to 1,500 is just about all the worms you can handle. The hidden reality is that even in the healthiest of bins, many, many worms are dying in your bin every day because they're not strong or lucky enough to find food. What to do with all that unrealized population? One answer, as you've probably already guessed, is feed your chickens with it. During peak garden production, I often found that my hens usually can't quite finish the scraps I offer them for feed. Worm-working chickeners, on the other hand, could feed the chickens a little less, or collect the leftovers and feed those to the worms. In turn, when your garden is less productive, or just as a treat, you could be able to harvest your sustainable protein crop of worms. It's an ideal interaction, too. Right now, when I want to harvest some of my vermicomposted soil, I find myself pulling worms from the section of the bin that is soil and putting them into the side of the bin with new scraps. The truth is, some of those worms will die competing for food anyway. It's just that I can't bear to put them out in my winter soil or in a potted plant, where they're certainly going to die. However, I wouldn't feel nearly so bad if I was spreading that compost over my garden and letting the hens go through it. My motto would be, harvest it all, let the hens sort them out. Furthermore, in order to get the most productivity out of my bin, I tend to harvest my vermicompost a little early. When I can see little tiny pieces of food in the soil, it's close enough to spread on my garden in the winter, where it will gradually get worked in. But hens will help finish that stuff off by grinding it in while they peck at worms, and maybe even eat the occasional sprout. Finally, a typical section of vermicompost usually contains many unhatched worm eggs. I don't know if a chicken would eat these. I don't think so, but I do know that the eggs, unlike the hatched worms, can stay in stasis through the winter and then hatch in spring, populating the garden with wigglers until it gets too cold again. So this provides extra composting and additional feed for your chickens. I'm almost embarrassed I didn't think of this interaction before, but that's what agriculture is all about. There's always something new to learn. I'd be getting myself off mission by teaching my listeners how to get started as worm workers. But you can believe me when I tell you it's even easier than getting started as a chickener, and there are many resources available. I can recommend a wonderful book called Worms Eat My Garbage. Many websites are out there that you can find by doing an inter search on vermicomposting or red wiggler worms. And finally, many municipalities run programs aimed at reducing landfill by encouraging citizens to vermicompost, such as New York City's compost program run through its network of botanical gardens. You can contact your city or your local public garden to find out about your nearby program. I sure hope some of my chickening listeners who haven't already incorporated worm cultivation into their personal system heed my advice and start worming. I'd especially love to hear about your experience. My email, as you should know, is bucky@radioboise.org. For those of you who still don't have chickens, for good or maybe not so good reasons, I will say there's absolutely no excuse not to have a worm bin. They're feasible and legal everywhere. They will help you develop some of the thinking skills you'll need when you finally do sign on to the Bucky Bacall agenda of chickens everywhere. And of course, you'll already be an expert at supplementing your chicken feed with worms. So if not happy chickening, then happy worming. This is Bucky Bacall. I had a good time.
The Bucky Bacall.